Lost in Space, an adventure with Rocky Starr.
Rocky finds he cannot continue his search for the missing spaceship Taurus because it is impossible to leave the satellite of the Hoppeti. In an endeavor to learn the course, Rocky, Di, and Mitch have accompanied the tripeds to their crude underground city. Now they're informed that there is to be an entertainment in which they must take part, and they're conducted toward a large room. Mitch is obviously nervous as he says over the intercom,
"Hey, Rocky, I don't like this. We don't know what funny tricks these things plan to start."
"Oh, we have their friendship to win, Mitch."
"Yeah? You know, there used to be an all-time book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I bet it never gave the lowdown the setup like this."
"As long as they realize we must keep our spacesuits on."
"Well, they must understand by now that we can't breathe their atmosphere, Di. Hello. This looks like the place."
"Yeah, all squatting around the ring."
"I think they want us to sit on the stone ledge over there."
"Hold your limbs and rest here."
The telepathic voice. "You're right, Di."
"Fold your limbs? I talked to a guy like he was a collapsible chair or something."
"You sit between us, Di."
"Yeah, if any trouble breaks, Uncle Mitch will look after your chicken. Don't worry."
"Well, that's a comforting thought, Mitch. But we mustn't look for trouble."
"Well, they don't appear to mean us any harm. We're just part of the circle of tripeds, all squatted down."
"Yeah. But what happens next?"
"There's some sort of a stone platform or throne in the middle."
"Yeah, where they make the sacrifice, I'll bet."
"Oh, Mitch, for goodness sake."
"Anyway, look, he's wrong. See, one of the tripeds is getting up on it."
"Maybe he's going to give a speech."
"This is entertainment? Listen to a speech by telepathy?"
"He's swaying about and going into some sort of a trance. The way they always do when they concentrate. Look, so are the others."
"Hey, maybe he's going to make the stone block fly around the cave with him."
"Rocky. Rocky, Mitch, did you hear that?"
"There's music." "Yeah. Here it comes again. Ah, that's the entertainment. He's creating music in his mind.
And beaming it to us by telepathy."
"Shh, quiet, listen. It's getting stronger."
"Hey, this thing's giving me the creeps."
"Oh, quiet, Mitch."
"Yeah, but it does. Music and from nowhere, just out of the air."
"Well, you could say that of radio. It's just out of the air."
"Yeah, but you know, there's a disc or a tape or something being played at the radio station with
yeah,
this."
"I know, Mitch, I know. It's incredible, but just pay attention and listen."
"Oh, wasn't that the most fantastic thing? Rocky, to think that one of these creatures can sit there and create music in his imagination, and we can hear it. It's almost unbelievable."
"Well, we use our hands to operate equipment. They use their minds. It's a big difference."
"Yeah."
"What's the matter, Mitch? You're very quiet all at once."
"I'm feeling kind of redundant."
"Redundant?"
"What? Yeah, I'm not being funny, Rocky. I'm a good radar engineer, one of the best. I can lick the pants off most guys with radio. It took me a lot of study and hard work to get that way. These things can do a musical broadcast without a single wire or circuit or valve. Without even a musical instrument. Wouldn't that make you feel a bit sick?"
"Yes, I suppose so, but... Look. Look, the music maker's coming out of his trance."
"Yeah, it looks like he's going to contact us again."
"We can see you are impressed by our entertainment, strange ones. Shall I create more harmonics for you?"
"What do you think, Rocky? Shall we have more music?"
No. Nix on that. It's too depressing. Hey, ask him if he can tell a story."
"All right. Yes, it may be an interesting experiment. Now concentrate. My friend would like a story."
"Yeah, a story, you know. Tell us something that's happened to you. Story. Story, see?"
"I think he's got the idea."
"This could give us some idea of their lives."
"Yeah, but he's getting down from the platform. He's not going to play."
"No, look. There's another tripod coming forward."
"Hey, it's the leader." "Oh, we're honored. He's going up onto the platform.
Well, I hope it's a story with a bit of excitement in it. I don't go for music as entertainment. It's too tame.
Look, he's swaying about. Now let's concentrate and pay attention.
We make our thoughts speak easily in your minds, two-legged ones. That is good. Otherwise, the story could not reach you.
Hey, he's making a speech.
Shh, quiet, Mitch.
I will tell you of happenings long ago, and of Amenahu, our ancient home. Open the eyes of your minds. Give up your thoughts. Out of time and space and the power of mind, I will conjure the shapes of a story.
Dreamily, the three Earth people surrender themselves to the compelling power of the thoughts that surge through their minds. Then the stone walls of the place seem to dissolve in mist. The mist gives way to the darkness of space, and there is a planet swimming before them. Down they plunge to a city of gleaming metal, a city of three-legged people, and then they're in a glittering room, and two of the people are talking in words that they understand.
I have called you to Mizutka because I am gravely concerned for our people.
Concerned? But our people are happy and secure and come in.
Happy, yes. But secure, no. There is a great threat awaiting Amenahu, our planet.
Threat? I see no evidence of threats.
Then I shall show you. Watch the screen. The wall before you is nothing but a huge screen. What do you see?
Nothing but space. Space and its stars.
And our home, Zutka. Our planet, Amenahu. It drifts endlessly through space.
We drift, but all our people know that is so.
Other planets revolve in circles around some central sun. But Amenahu wanders endlessly.
What has this to do with the threat to our people?
On the screen, you see the space towards which we are drifting. See, there. There is a planet. See, it is a speck of light. I will use this screen to bring it closer.
A yellow planet. Is there peril in that?
Our astronomers have studied carefully the course that planet follows, and the course on which we are drifting. It is almost certain that we shall come close to crashing into this yellow planet.
They are sure of this thing?
So sure that they are greatly concerned.
Our planet to collide with another? That would be a catastrophe.
It would be the end of Amenahu and its people.
There may be people on this yellow planet also. But surely it is possible we may drift close by without collision.
Even that will not save us.
Not save us? But if there is no collision, we will survive.
No, no, Zutka. There are people on this yellow planet, and they spell deadly peril for us.
People? How is this known? Who has discovered these people? What form do they take?
Patience. We have sent out three spaceships, secretly, to explore.
Ah, and they have returned?
One has returned.
Oh.
Yes, its pilot is waiting in the room next to us. I will summon him.
You say only one has returned. What of the others?
Pilot Agaho will tell you of them. Yes, he comes now.
You summoned me, my leader?
Rest yourself, Agaho. Zutka, our civil leader, would learn of your explorations.
Anchorman tells me no ship but yours returned, Agaho. He tells me you found a people live on the yellow planet.
Yes, Zutka, there is a people.
Yeah.
It was because of them that only one ship returned.
How? Because of them, how?
They too have flying ships.
Ah.
Round they are, like small planets traveling at speed.
You met these ships?
To our sorrow, we met them. As we hovered above the planet, trying to discover what manner of place it was, these ships came speeding towards us from the surface. We thought they had come to welcome us. Even when they circled round us at great speed, we had no sense of danger.
And then?
Tell him what happened, Agiho.
They directed a strange green ray at our ships. We swerved violently to avoid it, but two of our three ships could not escape it.
And what did it do, this green ray?
When a ship was caught in its beams, it exploded into fragments. They are a warlike, dangerous people, Zutka. They attacked us mercilessly and without warning.
Thank you, Agiho. You may withdraw.
I go with greetings to you both.
As you see our peril, Zutka, as our planet draws near this yellow planet, it will mean merciless war.
Our scientists will find protection for us.
No, we have nothing to counter this green light.
Something will be found. Switch off the screen. Make the wall clear that we may see beyond it.
As you wish. There. It is as if no wall existed.
Look out there at Amenihu, our planet anchormen. Our scientists are great. We have drifted far into space. The sun is endless distances away with no longer the power to warm us. On every hilltop, the radiation towers send out heat and light, so that in the cold of space we no longer need a sun. Our scientists are great.
Ah, but we now drift towards another sun, and a planet with people strong in destruction. Our people have done great things, Zutka. But before long, it may be the end of them all.
The end of all we have done, our planet? It is unbelievable. No, 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 it is impossible.
No, it is inevitable. We are not warlike people.
Then we must make war and come in. We must hold back the people of this yellow planet with their green ray. We must fight, 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 fight against destruction.
Rocky, Di, and Mitch sit as if entranced. What happened as Amenihu drifted nearer the yellow planet? There is excitement ahead, so don't miss the next gripping chapter of this Rocky Star adventure, Lost in Space.